There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5. It's a Friday. It's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. I'm Sean. I've got a couple hours to hang out here. More live local talk. 54 hours a week of live local talk here on this radio station. So, and mind you, too, tomorrow, Sunday, I mean, weekend days, we're here as well. Local shows, we get cranked up tomorrow morning with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, so be ready for that. All right, lots to do on today's show. I want to get my buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News on in just a second, but news that has been breaking this morning here, and you can read more through our Facebook page on this. I know Lanyap, my buddy Dale Leash at Lanyap has a story up as well. And folks, a conflict between, look over here to my left in the studio, where I've had both of these men sitting in the studio, and it's a looks like a conflict between those two. So the story out from Lanyap says Representative Shane Stringer, right? So Rep. Shane Stringer is no longer a captain with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. And we talk about this when Representative Stringer's been in. We talk about it from a law enforcement perspective. His latest post has been a captain with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. A press release comes out today from Mobile County Sheriff's Office and says Stringer was fired by Sheriff Sam Cochran on Wednesday for his sponsorship of House Bill 618. And it's, you know, when the sheriff was in here with us on Tuesday, we talked about this House bill. That House bill that Dale writes here would make pistol permits unnecessary. We've talked about like a constitutional carry, right? Many times on the show. It goes on in Dale's story to say Mobile County Sheriff's Office spokeswoman Lori Miles said this. Cochran had been vocally opposed to the so-called constitutional carry in the past. Quote, Stringer sponsored a bill for constitutional carry. The sheriff has a difference of opinion. End quote. Although he was hired at the rank of captain, Stringer's position was an appointed one. Stringer did not immediately return calls and text asking for comment. In addition to allowing for concealed carry without a permit in the state, HB 618 would have removed the ability for district attorneys to judge intent through the use of a firearm without a permit during a commission of a crime. Introduced back in March, the bill has not gained much traction in the House. It has yet to make it out of committee with one day left in session. Currently, anyone in Mobile County who wishes to be in carrying a concealed firearm must register and pay a fee with the sheriff's office, which we talk about, I don't know, like at least every month when the sheriff's on, and we talk about that part of it. But so you have a situation where you have a captain with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. You have the elected official of a sheriff, right? Elected. You have the elected representative with Shane Stringer. He's working with the sheriff's department. He sponsors this bill. He's talked about it on this station with constitutional carry, runs afoul with the belief of the sheriff and the sheriff's office, and now he's not there anymore. So this is kind of breaking news right now. We will talk about this more going forward. If you know, you work for somebody, but you're also a representative, because it is a part-time job, we're told, and you carry a bill that runs afoul of that group, where do you go from there? Actually, I got a great guy to ask these kind of questions to. It's our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. That's the website, and he's joining us now. Hey, man. Well, we lost him. Okay, I don't know what's happened here. We've lost him. Very strange things going on with this piece of equipment in here. So we'll I don't know why. Maybe y'all can check back there. Todd, are you with us? Well, we'll do this. We'll get, at some point, we'll get Todd on with us. If y'all in the back want to, we'll see what's happening here. Maybe you look now. Okay, can Todd, are you back? There we go. There he is, Todd Stacey, yeah. Alabama yeah. Daily News. Man, all the things are coming together here on a Friday. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, sorry about that. How's everything going?
Well, and I don't know when you, if you cut out at what point during the opening of the show, but I'm reading a story here, a local story, but kind of a Montgomery story as well.
I heard it, and it's really interesting, and you know, you'd think that you know, getting fired for your political views is one thing, but as you noted, this was not necessarily a vote on a bill. He's carrying the bill. It's his piece of legislation that his employer really doesn't believe in, and it affects the employer, right?
Yes.
The bill actually, you know, would change the policy of the state, and that seriously affects the employer. So, I mean, I guess I can kind of see it from that point of view. But wow, I mean, what a big development.
Yeah, I mean, both men, obviously, in law enforcement over many decades. And but you have the elected, you know, it's interesting because in this case, we're talking about law enforcement. What we're talking as well about are two elected positions, right? I mean, you've got the elected sheriff and you have an elected representative.
Yeah, and I tell you what, now, this constitutional carry, sheriffs have been opposing this for years.
Yep.
I mean, probably at least the last 5 or 6 years that I've been paying attention to that issue. They have come up to Montgomery every time there's a committee hearing. You have, you know, the brown shirts and hats and everything. They make a big presence to oppose that bill. They say it would really make it difficult for them to do their jobs. But I always found it interesting that Representative Stringer, you know, was from law enforcement. And so his point of view on that was always kind of a counter to so many of the police and sheriffs coming up to oppose that bill. But so the other part of this is the bill hasn't passed yet.
Right. They said not even out of committee. It's not even out of committee at this point.
Well, it could pass on the last day. We'll see. And I mean, if I'm Representative Stringer, I've got no reason to not push forward right now after this has happened.
Yeah. And let's talk about, because that was what, before this came up, before the show started, we were going to talk about the last day with you. And could this come up? I mean, there's a whole bunch of, well, what are they going to do? They got the last day, you know, and it sounds like this year it's going to be a very busy last day. It's not going to be the field day pizza party of a normal sunny day. So you've got gaming, you've got prisons. Those are the two big ones I'm thinking of right now that are out there. What can kind of walk us through what may or may not happen in that last day?
That's right. Everybody's been wondering about gambling. The big gambling bill fell apart last Thursday, on the second to last day. And the big question is, would they try it? Would they try to bring it up? There's, you know, technically enough time. And so this week, lawmakers from the House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, have been meeting and having a series of phone calls to try to kind of, you know, put Humpty Dumpty back together. And see if they could revive this bill and pass it on Monday. Those talks have gone well. They've been productive, and I'm told that they pretty much have an agreement in principle on a proposal, on the details, or at least the framework of a proposal that would have enough votes to pass. But it's the timing that, you know, with only one day left, I just don't think there's enough time for it to pass. Remember, with medical marijuana, another controversial issue, you know, similar in terms of controversy, it took 2 days to pass that thing because of, you know, so the debate, the filibuster went on for so long. I don't see any way that the same thing wouldn't happen with gambling. Plus, you have so many other issues that lawmakers want to get to in the House. So I just don't think I don't think it's really feasible. The only thing I could say is because of these talks, it's feasible to me that you could see a special session later if they truly have an agreement. If they truly have everybody on board, then maybe that would convince the governor to call a special session.
You know, when you look at these things, Todd, if they're going to, at the last minute, come to agreement, isn't it often something semantic? You know what I'm saying? It's not at the core of the issue because they can trade this, that, the other. If there's some core disagreements, that doesn't seem like something you could get hashed out in a few days and take into next week.
Well, you know, it's one thing that happened last Thursday and really that whole week is that the Democrats, who all along have been in favor of this proposal, started understanding that really they were the swing votes. They were, their votes were needed on this legislation, and so they started asking for things. They took that bargaining power and stepped it up a notch and started bargaining for things, started asking for things like Medicaid expansion and minority ownership of these casinos, which I don't really think you can put in legislation, but they're trying to figure out a way to do it. And so, you know, that was frustrating for Republicans because they thought they had an agreement on the details of the plan, and then they start asking for these other, you know, seemingly non-related things. And that's sort of been a trend this session. The Democrats have been emboldened, I think, looking across the state line to Georgia and sort of what's going on over there. They've really been more aggressive in their negotiations this year. And so, but I think it backfired on them, because at the end of the day, they wanted a bill. They wanted a proposal, and they didn't get one. And I think that has caused them to come back to the table and start negotiating again. So we'll see. I think it's very interesting that they came back to the table. That shows me that maybe their negotiations went a little too far. You know, they asked for a little too much. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, if they can get everybody on board, then they are the swing votes.
So your gamble here for getting something done, whether it be on that last day or in a special, do you think it has a better than 50% chance?
Yeah, in a special, yeah. But the governor's been kind of weird on this too, because she told me back in April that she would absolutely be willing to call a special session if it doesn't pass in the regular. But she's since then been saying no, she's not going to call a special session. She said that as recently as a week ago that she did not expect to call a special session. You know, so she's kind of been a little inconsistent on this issue as well. She obviously wants a bill, and she's been supportive of a bill, and her office was involved in drafting the latest. But, you know, I think if she really wants to pass this bill, then she needs to, you know, kind of step up and say something and have a press conference and, you know, really get behind it with the weight of her office. That, you know, but she hasn't been willing to do that, and I really haven't been able to understand why.
Let's talk about the prison side of this. Would that be something that would come up on the last day, or do you think it's going to be gaming and then prison goes to special? I mean, am I a fool for thinking at any point? I mean, we already have the hammers halfway down on us on this thing, and do we have a solution? Can the legislature come up and pick up what has been done by the executive and carry something forward?
Well, we'll know probably pretty soon. We'll know in early June whether or not this contract situation with the governor's office and the Department of Correction is actually going to work. They're going to keep trying. I mean, we're at three underwriters now that have fallen off, and so a lot of people are declaring the deal dead. I'm not ready to yet, because I think there are – I've actually spoken with some folks that are – interested in underwriting that project. So they still have options. The question is, can they get a deal? Can they get a, you know, interest rate and all that kind of thing that helps the state, that is a good deal for the state? If they can, then it's not dead yet. But it is, I mean, it has lost support in the legislature. What support it, you know, had to begin with, I don't know. But they're ready. They want to do something. The problem is, and everybody understands this, I mean, even the lawmakers who say, yeah, let's pass a bond issue, I mean, that restarts the clock that was started 2 years ago. So you lose 2, if not 3 years on actually, you know, putting shovels in the ground and building these prisons, and that's not good. So, you know, we'll see. On June 1st, that's when the contract really kicks in, and that, you know, Core Civic had until then to raise this money. If they can't, then it's my understanding that the state can then pursue other options.
It seems like the bonding question here, whether the rates, you know, just the fact taking advantage of low rates, or maybe leveraging the fact that, I don't know if you could do this, that there's $4 billion in new money came into the state from the last bill out of Washington. There'd be some way to put these things together to get a low rate and get this bonded, and just, but then I don't know if you can have CoreCivic, or can they, without them owning it, would they build, are they a builder too? You know what I'm saying? Could you just say, okay, listen, we're going to finance this thing, but y'all are going to build it?
Yeah, that's a good idea. But I mean, remember that there is a contract. And so there's a lot of details of that contract. I mean, you saw the stacks of paper
yep.
on Kayavi's desk. So I think they'd obviously have to adhere to that, whatever is. But again, that.
But if you can't finance it, right? You know, that's the thing. I mean, it does. I don't. Lord knows I hadn't read the contract, but it seems like if there was no way to finance it, there'd be some out in it.
Right. And I think that's coming on June 1st. If CoreCivic, they had until June 1st to figure out how to finance this thing. They're not, you know, the state is not on the hook for finding the financing. That's on the company. And I think they may have misjudged just how hard it was going to be to do that, given the, you know, kind of wokeness that's going on. But, you know, so I think on June 1st, if they really have run out of options on June 1st, I think the state can go and look for other options and not be tied to this contract. That's my understanding.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd and Stacey, Alabama Daily News. We're going to talk about the website, how you get that email sent to you. And when we come back to Governor Ivey signed something that I think is going to be popular in the state. It's the wine delivery bill. More on that coming up next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, get right back into our conversation with Todd and Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. You want to get this email I'm always talking about. Todd, tell them how to do that.
Oh, it's really easy, and you're going to want to be on the list with the last day of session coming up. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click sign up at the very top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
By the way, too, I want to answer this, and then you can correct me. It's nice to have Todd as my backup here, my spotter, if I screw this up. But somebody's saying here on the text line, well, he could be fired for double dipping. And he was talking about Shane Stringer, who's a representative, also was Mobile County Sheriff's Office captain. But the way I understand double dipping act for the state, you have to be a state, right? You have to have held a... You would have to be like with a LEA or ABI or something like that, because it's
that's right.
Okay.
Local police that
it doesn't
and local sheriffs that doesn't because you're not voting on your budget,
right?
But it, so
you can work
teacher,
for a sheriff's office and you can be an elected official in the legislature. That's not it would only be at state to state. It can't be state to municipal or county.
Right, and so where that law really was cracking down was that you had these. Community college presidents that were also members of the legislature. So they gave them jobs basically and they were also in the legislature. So they were voting on their budget, which was a conflict of interest.
Let's talk about this. Wine to the door, Cabernet to the house law.
Cabernet to the crib, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's been a long time coming. I'll give a lot of credit to Representative Terry Collins out of Decatur. She has worked on this bill for a couple of years. And it ran into some kind of surprising opposition, but she stuck with it, and now it really was born out of, I think she was trying to order some wine for her mom from like a certain winery, and was told no, we can't do that. So I guess a couple months from now we'll be able to order wine and have it delivered right to our homes. You can do it now. You can like get it delivered to an ABC store now, but you know now you can. In a few months, we'll be able to deliver it to the home.
And so this is in addition to the, and we just got like 30 seconds left, but the delivery, the alcohol delivery with food thing, is this different?
Right. Okay. So we call it the shipped bill. They passed separate legislation where you can get wine, beer, or liquor delivered to your house, kind of like the grocery delivery app, you know, the shipped or have you. And so that was a separate bill that passed. Cheers, I guess, is in order, because that's one thing the legislature did this session.
There you go. They got that to hang their hat on. Can't wait to read what you got to write on Sunday and look at what's happening next week. We'll be checking back with you for the last day of regular session. Todd, as always, I appreciate your time.
All right, man. Be good.
All right. There he is. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls and text here at 343-0106.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, y'all stand by and getting to you on the phone lines here at 343-0106. Enjoying a ragtop day out there. Man, it's beautiful. Speaking of ragtops and vehicles, let's check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM and check out what's happening on the lot. Hey, Larry.
Hey, yes, we do have a couple ragtops. So the Camaros.
Okay.
One red one.
Okay, so.
Beautiful day to do it.
Yeah, this is the kind of day that sells convertibles. It's got to be.
Absolutely.
It's, go ahead.
If you don't like convertibles, we got a bunch of them with sunroofs now, so.
So you got those, you've got, you know, we just talk about the kinds of vehicles, trucks or SUVs or mid-sized SUVs or cars, but we often say options, and I guess that's right. Convertibles, sunroofs, all that kind of stuff.
Well, absolutely. Most of our vehicles are fully loaded, although we've had a constant request for something with manual transmission, a little sedan, it gets great gas economy. Well, we just traded in 2012 Chevrolet Sonic, four-door, manual shift with only 61,000 miles.
Okay, that's going to be, you know, as we look at the gas prices right now, that's going to be a popular vehicle.
It's under $8,000. Like I said, it's just ready to go. And like I said, it's hard to find a manual transmission nowadays.
Well, so no joke. You're right on that. If somebody wants to look at that vehicle or probably just go ahead and get it, how do they find you?
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. They can like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Yes, Ragtop Day, somebody was saying. Yeah, great, great Jimmy Buffett song, too. This is right. I'm looking out the window. Like I said, one day I'm going to have a convertible studio. Well, I have a radio studio that you hit a button and comes back. Or maybe it's like a hard shell you got to take off, like on some of the Jeeps that have a hard shell. Something like that. So you could just do, like, have the sun beaming down. That'd be good stuff. All right, go to the phones here in just a second. Oh, yeah. So coming up in hour number two, by the way, we're going to talk with my buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. He's going to join us also. We don't talk about it much in a... outside of club team, lacrosse and all that, but how about this? Some organized lacrosse is taking it to them over in Louisiana. Big tournament coming up this weekend, and the lower Alabama Bay Sharks are going to be taking on some teams over there. We'll talk with the one of the coaches of the team coming up a little bit after 1 o'clock. All right, to the telephones, and David up first in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing this Friday?
Man, it's Friday. It's beautiful. I'm great.
I know. Well, listen, on this, I'm ambivalent when it comes to constitutional carry because regardless if they pass it or not, I'm still going to have a pistol permit because that's just me. But I think this was a poo-poo move by the sheriff. And here's why. I think both men are both men of character. They're both upstanding citizens. But it boils down to this for me. The sheriff has been on your airwaves complaining about the fact he hasn't been able to find enough qualified sheriff's deputies to work for him. On top of that, I believe he's also said that he expressed reservations about people losing their jobs in the private sector because of their political views. So my question is this. If that's the way he truly believes about both of those issues, why is he firing one of his sheriff's deputies because of his political views?
And I don't know about the second one. I don't know that I've heard him say that. Maybe he did, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know that. So, but on the first one... It's interesting, too. This is a good conversation because I like both men a lot, and they're both in law enforcement, and that difference of opinion is interesting to me, both coming at it. Because I've often deferred when people say, well, how are you, you know, how do you agree with conceal and carry and all this? I said, well, because so many people that I know that are good people in law enforcement have told me that, and they lay out scenarios for me, what it means to them and why it helps them stay safe and go home at night. And so that's gotten my attention over the years. But to hear somebody who's also in law enforcement, like Shane Stringer, say that he doesn't agree with that, he wants constitutional carry, it's of interest for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that law enforcement officers are trained to basically be ready to pull their weapon and fire it at a moment's notice because of the safety. I mean, their number one job as law enforcement is to come home to their families at the end of the night. I understand that, which is why I'm going to choose to have a pistol permit. So if I ever have to interact with a law enforcement officer in an official capacity. I can pull out my license, my registration, my insurance, and my pistol permit if I'm carrying. And that officer knows right away, okay, he's a licensed carrier. He's probably going to be an okay guy.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the bill in front of me, but I'm pretty sure this bill, like the others, would still retain, like a constitutional carry, would still retain concealed carry permits so you could have reciprocity, right? So, I mean, because if there wasn't, you would never be able to go out of the state. So you've got to have reciprocity. I am torn on this one, y'all. Usually on Second Amendment stuff, it's all pretty cut and dry to me. This is one I'm not. And so David's making his case. Maybe y'all want to change my mind one way or another on this. Should we be constitutional carry? And David, appreciate your call. This is not open carry. Open carry is legal. Okay, it's not open carry. Which, by the way, somebody, if we stay like this, I had an idea. I thought it was maybe not a $1 million idea. It's like a $55 idea of how you, because one of the questions about concealed carry permits is let's say if I did have a handgun or more, that I didn't have a concealed carry permit, and I want to take that firearm to the camp, up on the river, I want to go to somewhere I'm going to open carry it, whatever. But then I'm transporting it in the vehicle, I've got an issue. Now, the Sheriff's Department and others have talked about this in the past that, you know, they say in a trunk. The problem is, how many cars anymore have a trunk? But, you put it in the vehicle, it's the ammunition's not with the weapon, and it's locked up, and you go through some measures, you probably won't have any problems with that. But my idea was, my $55 idea, what about an open carry, a magnetic, follow me, you got budding entrepreneurs out there, I'm laying something out for you that's going to be big. If you got a state where you have open carry, like we do, but somebody doesn't have a concealed carry permit, but they want to transport that handgun, right? Because you can still carry long guns, but a handgun, it would be a magnetic holster on the side of your vehicle. And then you could put that HK-40 or the 357 or the 9 or even a little Ruger Bearcat. I mean, I don't know guns, but just some stuff I'd written down from TV. And so you put one of those handguns in the holster and you snap it like an Uncle Mike's. A holster there, and then you magnetize it to the side of the car. So it's really not inside your car. You're driving, but you're still open carrying. What? No, you dead serious. Y'all looking at me like, no. You see, people in the control room, they know. They know when good business ideas come up. So I would, I'd like to have my mind change one way or another on this. Like, it's a tough one, because talking to people, I get both sides. I get both sides on this. I'm not, hey, you negative people on the text line, I'm going to be laughing last. It's a dumb idea. It's a brilliant idea. Magnetic holster for the outside of your vehicle so you can open carry as you drive. Unnamed texter, of course you are. The Constitution, like, this for me is a tough one. Maybe it's not for many of y'all, but for me it is. Because I understand the heart behind constitutional carry. I do. I do get it. On the pragmatic side, though, talking to so many folks in the law enforcement world that say, Sean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for if we pull over a vehicle and somebody's got a felony and they shuffled the gun from one person to another, so that person is in possession, but nobody has to have a concealed carry permit. You know, what about somebody who is 19 years old going into a situation where they could be, drinking and violence, and they just grab a gun and have it on them? I want to talk about this seriously with y'all when we get back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. 1248. I'm often telling you about my buddy Trey, Trey Bennett, who's got 1-800-GOT-JUNK and doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Worked for several of us here at the radio station and for the radio station, moving junk when we need it. You know, you got it. Junk at your house, office, storage unit, all those places I've talked about and how easily it works to get that appointment set and get them working. Well, let's combine this with, if you heard the interview last hour or, Yeah, in our last hour during Jeff Poore's show, which, by the way, if you didn't, go back and check out the podcast of his conversation with the head of labor for the state, Fitzgerald Washington, and the talk about the employment rate and what's happening next month with not having the continuing unemployment, and really a learning experience on that. But we all see how that applies out in the market. People can't get people to work, right? They're looking for workers. Well, you're looking for the right job. You're looking for a job for maybe you or somebody in your family. My buddy Trey's hiring. So 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile is hiring, and they're searching for part or full-time help, either or, looking for somebody 20 years old or older who is not afraid. And this is how my buddy Trey talks. So I'll just tell you frankly because he wrote me a note. Not afraid to be dependable. And that's key in capital letters. And that is the show up, like show up and go to work. Dependable, sweat a little, get dirty, work independently, and are able to lift 50 pounds. You got to have a valid driver's license with a clean record and enjoy a fast-paced customer service and culture-driven work environment. Please message my buddy Trey Bennett. It's trey.bennett@1800gotjunk.com. So T-R-E-Y dot Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T at 1800gotjunk.com. Or I know you're riding down the road or doing something else right now. You can send us a text here to 343-0106, and I'll get you Trey's contact info. But yeah, same Trey Bennett, same 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We're always talking about, which you make that call, get an appointment set up for next week, get some junk gone. But if you're looking for work or know somebody looking for work, we got a friend of the radio station looking for employees. So let us know. All right. Oh my gosh, the number of texts, and we'll get to the phone as well. A couple people here, let me combine, a couple people said, well, this concealed carry permit thing is about revenue. There is a revenue component to it, but I keep saying this every time we talk about it, just so you know facts. The sheriffs don't set the amount. Nope, they don't decide. Montgomery does. So they live with what Montgomery sets that amount. So, I mean, that doesn't mean whether you like the concealed carry or not, but the people say, oh, they're just doing it because they can raise it up and make a lot of, they don't have any control over that, okay? They don't do that. There's a lot of people here talking about the F-150s with the aluminum frames and all that, that my brilliant idea for the magnetic holster to outwardly carry, open carry your gun as you rode down the road wouldn't work. Well, I got another model, y'all, that comes with some JB Weld, and you can just stick it to the truck. So, let's see. There's a lot of these. And a lot of people said, hey, I'll just use the permit. This is the part where, I mean, it gets interesting because I can see both sides. And both men, Sheriff Sam Cochran and Representative Shane Stringer, are both guys I like and I respect and both in law enforcement, but they differ on this one. And it is an interesting conversation. Oh, and people are saying that it's a very road warrior-like look to have the external holster for your handgun run down the road. Well, yes, it's true. And the way gas prices are going, we may be living that sooner than later. All right, let's go to, is it Ricky? Is it Ricky? Hey, Ricky.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, man. So what about it? Should we have constitutional carry?
The idea is solid.
Thank you.
The Constitution, if you just read it as it is not to protect us from criminals and being robbed. It's to protect us from tyranny, from government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're facing right now, a complete takedown of our country and our rights. If the Democrats or the left gets in there, they keep using that as an excuse because they don't want anybody to shout. But that's not it. If they did, they'd stop letting kids shoot each other in Chicago every weekend. But this is about tyranny in the government, and it ain't about... It ain't like what they, even the people, the NRA or whoever, try to defend our right. We got to get back to our government is can be turned into tyranny in a week and take our guns and our rights and all our Bill of Rights and all our rights if we don't have our guns to stand against the tyranny of the government.
But the question is the sheriff's office, which is actually, it came down from Montgomery, it's been there for a long time, is having concealed carry, does that go too far? I mean, because you can still have, they're not saying, I mean, you can have all the long guns in the vehicle you want, right? You can open carry, you can open carry that handgun, but if you conceal it, if you have it where it can't be seen, and you're going to go into, somewhere where nobody knows whether you have it or not, is that an okay place to have a limitation, or it is just that you would carry a permit to do that?
I, I don't think the government's got any right to issue out any permits, okay, even for unlawful people that's had a federal offense and served time in penitentiary.
You think felons should have guns?
Does not deter from what it says. All of us have the right to bear arms and protect ourselves from tyranny and from whatever.
Okay, so you do believe, so no regulation. So once you get out of jail, you wouldn't say they could keep the handgun while they were in prison or not? But they couldn't keep it on them in prison, right?
No, but I mean, if they get out of prison and they do their time, I mean, who has the right to say that they don't have the right to bear arms?
Right, and you know, there's that process where there's been a lot of that pardoning going on through a state, you know, through different states. Ours is one of them, where people do get their rights back, Second Amendment rights. But let's stick with this. So you say, is there any situation, this will be easier, any situation where you would limit somebody's Second Amendment rights? Is there anything they could do or have a condition of where you'd limit their Second Amendment rights?
No, because if they did a crime, murdered somebody or whatever with the gun, that would take care of itself. They would, you know, face whatever penalty they had for their crime. But making rules for a law-abiding citizen should be a crime, because that's what they're trying to do. It's just everything behind them taking our guns is for them to take control of our lives. And we got to get that right, because it's not about criminals. Criminals are going to be criminals. You can make all the rules you want to for them, they're still going to break them. So they're just taking away our rights, period, by doing it.
What about somebody who says, if they got somebody who's saying, I'm pretty strong on Second Amendment, but I mean, if somebody says, I'm going to go hurt this person, or I'm going to hurt these people as soon as I can get a gun, they're posting that, they're saying that, should they be allowed to have a gun?
If that's another crime. If they're threatening somebody to do something, maybe they, you know, can be arrested for the words. I mean,
First Amendment.
Words really don't mean nothing. We got crazy people can snap any day now and do exactly what you're saying, but that's just life. We can't use life situation for the Democrats to come up with some scheme to get under our feelings and make us feel bad about somebody shooting somebody in Chicago. Why don't they just close down all these blue states, get rid of all these blue state governors that are destroying their states and allowing, you know, get all the crime bills in the world for guns there, but they're still killing each other like, you know, 30, 40 a weekend. So we're not buying it.
All right. I'm going to put you down as undecided, Ricky. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Bunch of text on this too. Let's see. Sean, I've been through the ringer trying to get a concealed carry. If you let me on, it will change opinion. Well, let's talk. So now in the state, it is we are a shall issue state. That changed a while ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It went from may issue to shall issue. In other words, they have to show a absolute reason, they being sheriffs, have to show an absolute reason not to issue the concealed carry permit. Now, in the past, they've been able to look through things like that they knew that might not have been adjudicated and decide yes or no on handing out concealed carry permits. But in this case, in this state, it is shall issue. So I don't know what the situation is that prevents you from getting that concealed carry. Let's see. So, yeah, okay, people are asking about when people get out of jail, why they shouldn't have the right to carry a gun again. Right now in the state, now this would apply differently to every situation, but it is, there's a process. I know it gets used. I don't know if it's 100% successful or 50 or whatever, but that you can petition to get that right back. The same way you can petition to get your voting rights back. And I think Chris had talked about that on the text line, right? So there's a petition process on those where you can get reinstated rights. Is there any limitation possible on that? I think that's an interesting angle. All right, coming right back, it's more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.